Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora e te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live radio show. This is the show that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through Alcoholics Anonymous program. Thank you for joining us from around the motu and the world this evening. A warm welcome to my co-host Jan, and thank you for taking the time with me tonight. How's things with you?
Oh my gosh, so thank you for having me along. And I'm kind of excited today because you're running the show tonight. So I get to sit back and just enjoy. So I'm really enjoying this. I'm looking forward to the show that you've got us going with this evening. Life is good. I had a holiday, first one in a couple of years. So I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm feeling like the world doesn't owe me anything. I'm feeling pretty darn good.
Oh, that's cool. So you're refreshed and you've been in the water a little bit?
Swimming? Do you know, I did not get any swimming in. Oh. No, I got on the water in a boat, broke the boom actually on the yacht, but never mind, that's a whole different scenario. But no, it wasn't quite warm enough for me. I think it might be my age now. I'm like, I don't run into the
you
sea.
You need one of those
with
little thin wetsuits or something.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, but no. I have a thing about all the things that are in the sea. Unless I can see the bottom, I'm not.
Not a deep sea.
No,
deep
not
sea
a deep.
Swimmer.
Not at all. I'm happy to look at it. I love the sound of it. I love to put my toes into it. I'll go up to my waist at the most, and that's good for me.
Great.
Thank you.
Very water safe.
Yeah, I'm water safe. Yeah, that's what you want to call it. I've gone from a childhood of surf life saving swimming competitions to waist depth in the sea.
Very good. We should get on with this lovely show. So Alcoholics Anonymous is a service based on alcoholics helping other alcoholics. We do work through the 12-step program where recovering alcoholics support each other who want to stop drinking and to learn a new way to live. We do the mahi together and via the 12 steps. For me, working through the AA program and being invested in recovery is bringing about a new version of my life and living, which is exciting. And typically we, in a meeting, there's a serenity prayer, but this evening we're going to read the preamble that comes after the serenity prayer. And I'll read that out now. So this reads, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
I love that preamble. It just explains everything so well.
Yeah. Go back to that constantly, especially the last sentence, which we'll cover off in this program. So what you hear tonight are the opinions of those in tonight's show and not necessarily the opinions of all of AA as a whole. Occasionally we have guests who are invited to provide and share their story and experience. However, as a whole, it's just us recovering alcoholics talking about different aspects of our own recovery.
Nice. And we're going to do the daily reflection. Can I do that tonight?
That's for you.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Hey, it is the 4th of February, 2025. I can't believe that we're already in 2025. Okay, it reads today, when faith is missing. Sometimes AA comes harder to those who have lost or rejected faith than those who never had any faith at all, for they think they have tried faith and found it wanting. They have tried the way of faith and the way of no faith. That comes from our 12 Steps and 12 Traditions book on page 28. I was so sure God had failed me that I became ultimately defiant, though I knew better, and plunged into a final drinking binge. My faith turned bitter, and that was no coincidence. Those who once had great faith hit bottom harder. It took time to rekindle my faith. Though I came to AA, I was grateful intellectually to have survived such a great fall. But my heart felt callous. Still, I stuck with the AA program. The alternatives were too bleak. I kept coming back, and gradually my faith was resurrected. Well, that's a biggie. That was a biggie for me. This is lining up with step two, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Tell me more about that.
Oh, well, for me, I didn't have faith at all. And it was interesting. I had quite an objection to the word God when I first came into the rooms. I did see it, and I went, ugh, not me. And I was lucky I was informed that G-O-D could stand for several other things, like a group of drunks or good orderly direction, just as a couple of examples. And so for me, yeah, I honestly came into the rooms being that person who said if I walked into a church, it was because it was a funeral or a wedding or a christening, I would be drunk.
Just a ceremonial practice.
And I was likely to be struck with lightning, you know, because I had done many a bad thing. I wasn't a good person. I didn't think that there was a God, and I didn't think there was one looking after me, that's for sure. So for me, the keep coming back was really important. And eventually, I learnt that it's not a religious program, that the God word was not based on religion. It's a spiritual program. And so the more I returned and the more I listened, I learnt that it wasn't someone telling me to go to church. It wasn't anything related to church. It's a spiritual program rather than a religious program, which is conducted in different churches and so forth.
Places,
so
yeah,
places of worship. So, yeah, for me, it took time, certainly took time. And I did all sorts of different things to figure out what G-O-D meant for me and what a higher power meant.
Yeah.
So, you know, the two correlate.
Because once I got that opportunity of that interpretation, I could somehow it found it was tangible of what was going to happen. I've interrupted you a little bit. But
no,
I think
good.
I was on your page too. I was like, and agnostic, atheist, absolutely, straight down the barrel. And I'd gone into AA previously for years prior, and I sort of saw that there, and it's in that big cursive writing and a huge font, and I'm like, no, you know. And then, but I do respect people who are religious and are Christian or they're Buddhist or
Catholic, whatever.
Muslim, whatever they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, but I had to find my place. How am I going to do this? And especially when I came back into the program and I thought there has to be a way through this. And there has been. And that's been, otherwise, I thought, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do here? But because I was so desperate to change and to, you know, get a grip on where my life was going. And I thought, yeah. So tell me more about.
Well, you're right, the desperation. It was down to the desperation for me. I needed this program. I needed to stop drinking so badly that I was willing to do anything, which, you know, is in line with step one. So for me, it was as simple as keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And so I did.
And then you listen, right?
And
people,
I listened.
What they're saying. Because
listened for the similarities.
Yeah, and there's people in the rooms that have quite religious, and they're really, really quite amped on that, and good on them. And then there's like a whole bunch of us that are, you know, think in a different pattern.
Well, this is the thing where acceptance comes in. So this is the joy of the program, which if you get out of your own way, you start accepting people for who they are, which I have always done in my life anyway. So what that wasn't difficult for me. But bringing something into my life, that, with the G-O-D, with God, that was a really big step for me. And so as time has progressed, I'll use the word God, but I know what that word means for me personally, and it's not something that is church-related. So, yeah, I wouldn't call it faith-based for myself. I call it a spiritual program, and I now have got out of my way so much that when I say God grant me the serenity, I know that God actually is just a word for my higher power, and I'm not actually referring to God myself. But yeah, I mean, it's just time, I think. It's very difficult because people have had experiences like that reading says, where they have been faith-based and they have sat there and said, God, why are you doing this to me? And so
pick me up and take me somewhere else in my life.
Well, it's a heck of a battle when you've got a belief in something and you're finding yourself in struggles all the time and getting to such dark places in life, then you do think to yourself, where is God? Why am I having this happen to me? So I can understand this reading and the sense that finding your faith again could be really quite challenging for those who used to have it.
Yeah, and then there's that transference, I guess, to going from a religious faith into a higher power where, you know, there could be a greater force, whether it's environmental or molecular, I don't know.
Well,
you know,
like, they may find it again in the
sea,
church.
In the forest, and the wherever you need to find that sort of energy that's not you.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about this program is that you can be your own individual self. It's practice, not perfection. It's what works for you. And it's a program that grows when you grow. And so what you first walk into and what you think in the first week to what you think in the first week of your second year, then you think differently. What you think in the first week of your third year, you think differently. And it just keeps growing and growing. So, yeah, you never – I can't say that you ever stop learning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very hard to share with people sometimes.
Yeah, and I sort of read a different level into that reading as well in terms of your own faith, like faith in yourself, self-belief, being courageous, because often eventually when you're really hitting skid row is you're quite dismantled, you know, internally and emotionally. And so you've really lost self-confidence, where you've just lost your way.
Absolutely.
So
and you've
said
it.
I see that in that reading too.
Well, this is what I say, that growth. So in a year's time, I'll sit down maybe and talk with you, and you may be saying something completely different than what you see in that reading in a year's time or 2 years' time. And that's because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, yeah, that's how I was. That's exactly where I was. Yeah. And so that's what I love about this program is that it is a simple program, right, for really complicated people. And our growth is evident as we go through.
And it's contingent on others, right?
Absolutely.
It's contingent on, like, me being here with you, me, like, us going to meetings, us bumping into each other.
Yeah.
Well, all sorts of crazy things.
But we learn.
Yeah, it's about that community.
Yeah, we learn from each other.
Yeah.
Constantly learning. And I'm only where I am because I've been watching. You're where you are because you're watching. And that's the beauty of it. And even newcomers teach you something as well. That's the beauty of this program. So you it's not, you don't have to be an A-plus student. You also don't have to have been around for a certain amount of time. Your first day is your first day. Everybody had one. And the person that has a first day reminds us, who us in the fellowship who have been there for a while, what it was like. And that's, oh my gosh, that's worth $1 million to remind us, because it's very easy. Human nature makes us forget where we've been and what we've done.
Oh, yeah. Doing so well, feeling so good.
Oh, looking good. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a drink.
So at this moment in time, I'm under no illusion of that. You know, I'm pretty, because I have, as I've shared on this program, you know, before I got to AA, I was in constant areas of relapsing, you know.
Well, there
you go. And
I was
constantly sort of, it was here and there, and then I'd be really good, and then I would just get worse and worse. And so, you know, I do have the inner sort of vibe or really belief that I just have to, you know, never, yeah, stay in the program, keep coming to meetings as we all hear. But, yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah, well, it's a healthy fear. Yeah. It's a healthy fear. And it's really lovely to hear that from you. But, I mean, even if you look at the fact you opened today with talking about how you'd come in to the rooms previously and you'd left and then you've come back. So that first time there was something in it for you that you weren't prepared to listen. You wanted to go out and do some more research, check out whatever, check out where your drinking was going to take you.
I was also in that position, you know, where I was trying to, subconsciously I was putting blocks in. Oh, there's God. I can't go. Can't go to that program.
Exactly.
Oh, there's that. Oh, it's too far away. I can't do that. Oh, I'm okay now because I've stopped drinking for 2 weeks. I feel good. No one's really noticing anymore.
Let me ask you this then. When you were putting in those blocks and in that time that you came in, going to a meeting, I don't know how many meetings you went to, but when you went back out and said, okay, I'm going to go back out and drink because I'm okay, did that change your drinking? The fact that you'd even been in a meeting and you knew that
you're just terrified, like, gosh, here I am, I've got to this point. So, yeah, you start off gently, maybe two nights a week, and then, you know, just, I can't control it.
Insatiable.
Yeah. Insatiable.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy thing, really, isn't it?
It is a crazy thing. Cool. So I think we should play a little track here. And I've selected a track from an artist called Lulu, and it's called Home, and it's from her album Dear Disorientated Soul.
Oh, that's me.
I know. I thought I'd actually introduce, you know, like who the, you know, where is it from a little bit. Not that I'm trying to be a DJ.
You can be a DJ. You can be anything you want. And I just like to say you're listening to the AA Live Show in association with our friends from Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM.
Nothing feels like home. Left her out in the cold, and I wonder, is this all I know? Tell me how much longer. And if I knew then all that I know now, show me something I could get. Tell me something I would change. And if I knew then all that I knew now, hoping things won't be the same. Holding out for hope again. Eyes will never see beyond the storm. Though your heart is troubled, joy will come. Everything I wait on will it pay up. Eyes will never see, never see. And I know say I get all the answers. Talk from the path I go walk on. I don't know how. I don't know how. All I know that the day's getting shorter. Caught up in the middle. Everything I've been through can't go to waste. Don't know where I'm going. Flow in the uncertainty. And if I knew that all that I knew need a shake, or then I fall up again. Eyes will never see beyond the storm. Though your heart is troubled, joy will come. Everything I wait on will it be love. Eyes will never see, never see. Eyes will never see beyond the storm. Joy will come. Everything I wait on will it be love. Eyes will never see, never see.
Fantastic. I'm loving that song.
That was a really nice song.
And it's...
oh, it's trying to butt back in. I love it. Go Lulu.
Go Lulu. okay, so I was thinking tonight... mm-hmm. A bit of a main idea we'll talk about, a focus point, if you like, is step two, since we are at this beginning of February. And it's I think it's always relevant and really helpful to think about the steps in correlation to the monthly calendar. That's, I guess, that's me at the moment. Maybe in a couple of years it might sort of be a bit different, but I find it really helpful.
I'm so with you. I did the same thing at the beginning.
Especially in January, we step one and...
oh, I love step one in January.
Yeah,
it's great.
The rooms really change up and change out a little bit. And
well, and we get people. Lots of newbies in because they've gone through their holiday season and things have gone a little pear-shaped for them. And so it kind of revives us and reminds us of where we were when we first came in. It's lovely. It's so weird enjoying that fact that, you know, other people's terrible times. But this is part of the program in the sense of that... that community where we all help each other. That's the strength of it.
So just coming back to step two, so I'm just going to read that out. And it says here, step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And similar to step one, which states we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives would have become unmanageable. For me, it seems like that step two is all separated into those, you know, two types of parts as well. So one way of unpacking this is like that we have to somehow, you know, when you're stepping, we have to engage with that conceptual thinking or practice that is a power that's or a force that's greater than ourselves, and we just sort of covered that off at the beginning of the program. And then there's that lovely second part. I don't know if it's lovely actually, but suggesting that through our addictive and alcoholic life, essentially, like. You know, there's ways that we're behaving that are insane.
Oh, yeah.
Insanity. And it's in your belief or in actions. And, and some of us are really unwell. In other ways, and other people, your behaviours and the way you're thinking about your life, what you're doing, there is levels of insanity.
Oh, gosh. So
take
that's
me back to some of your sort of... processes that, there.
That's a can of worms. Okay, so for me, step one, obviously, admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Our lives had become unmanageable. That involved working with my sponsor, my first sponsor, and she said, go and write out your story with alcohol. Well, I spent a lot of time doing it because it was quite traumatic. Not ignoring that there were great times. The story started out with some fun memories. But then, of course, you know, this becomes such a dark place. I wasn't enjoying my drinking by the end. So as I was writing out that story, and then I went through it with her, all I saw was insanity. I mean, every behaviour I did was absolutely insane. Not every behaviour, but, you know, there were behaviours where... oh, gosh, I was not treating people well. I was the first on the top of the rank for anything.
Right.
Unless I was getting what I needed. And everything was manipulated to what I needed. I remember when I first came in, and I've said this on here before, I didn't think I was a selfish person when I came into the rooms of AA. Yeah, if you were in my circle, you would get the shirt off my back. I would do anything. I was that person that my friends would ring when something went wrong because I would stop everything, drop it and go, yeah, cool, okay, what do you need? But I didn't recognise that it was had those words, as long as, on the back of it, you know.
Yeah.
As long as we're drinking while we do it, or we're going to have a drink afterwards, or, you know, somewhere there's alcohol or drugs involved.
I see,
involved.
So it's completely connected.
Absolutely, like, and, it is. And yeah. As long as I can. Yeah, yeah, it was, but I didn't recognise that. That took me till my second year, really, to understand all of that. But, yeah, Yeah, and I kept hearing in the rooms, it's such a selfish disease. And I was thinking, well, that's not me. But no, it truly was me. But the insanity of the behaviours to the reactions. I mean, I lived in survival mode for such a long time too. So to me, if I didn't do some of these things, then it was going to be even more catastrophic than life already was. So there's different ways of looking at that. I think you just alluded to it then, you know, there's subtle and significant levels of insanity. But sometimes it's just life. It's what we have to do to get through life. So, yeah.
Because I now can see that there was separations, if you like, like insane in terms of, sure, my drinking behaviour, years or insane that I could possibly consume as much, or I could start drinking it really early in the morning. So that's insane. You know, those things are sort of physical manifestations of my behaviours of alcoholism. But the way I was behaving and thinking, and that was just so scattered, and I was trying to run my own company, and I was, you know, constantly sort of putting fires out and grabbing something and thinking this project's going to work, this is going to be good, and this is going to help sort out all of my other problems, my other projects. And so I might put that one first and forget about the ones I've already started. And it was just this like shuffling cards, and people that were my clients were like, hey, what's going on? You know, like we came and saw you a few months ago, and now we're like, and you said next week, and I'm like, yeah. You know, it was this. So I have learnt through stepping that I see all my way of planning, being, priorities. That was insane.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So
that's nice, especially when you're running your own business. It's important to be to put those in the right order.
Yeah, just that sort of calibration in your life is just really off.
Well, let me put this example out for me. I was highly skilled in my working life as to what I was doing. And I would work a lot, but I would party hard. So for me, say I put in a really big day, then I would go and party till 4 a.m. I'd be drinking till 4 a.m, but then I'd go straight back into work at 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock because I knew I had to do it. Now I would have still been under the influence, but I had a motto for all my staff always. I said, I don't mind if you party hard. If you do the crime, you do the time. Like, you have to come in. This is your commitment. So calling in sick to me is not an option.
I
don't
weakness,
mind.
I
yeah, yeah, weakness. You don't. I don't mind if you go out and play hard. Go for it. But this is your commitment. So be there. So I used to turn up to work a lot of the times, still off my nut.
Yeah.
That's not insane.
But then you can justify to yourself that this is okay because this is normality, or this is a regular occurrence.
Oh, it was normality, all right. It's an everyday thing. But I worked and I went to the gym a lot. I was, you know, I had healthy things. I think I was sharing with somebody just the other day. I did, every 6 months, I'd do a liver cleanse. You know, I was being good.
Well, how about going to Bali? I went on to Bali for like a 10-day retreat. You know, didn't eat or drink, or we had these kind of weird little lotions. And I'm like, great.
Yeah, that's now you can party real hard because you've cleansed your body and you can go for it. That's insanity, but that is the way that I thought.
Oh, yeah, I just thought of another one too. Yeah, I'll join a CrossFit gym and I'll get really, really fit, and then I'll do some, you know, maybe sauna action afterwards, and then I'll, you know, hit the bottle, and then I'll go back to work, and then it's just the cycle, the
absolutely
recycling of those things. So that one is really true. And another one of... that's quite not insane, but it's got a tinge of difficulty is when you hear of people that help people out endlessly and they don't look after themselves.
Oh, people pleasing is a huge issue for me.
Yeah, and I think
that
can happen with you've got elderly parents or elderly friends, and you really, you know, drop everything to go and help with them, or anyone, doesn't have to be an elderly, but you're going so far into that, you're not actually looking after your own well-being.
Yeah, well, that's where you
that's
think
that's a common story in the rooms too.
Definitely. I mean, I've been looking out for my mum since I was 14.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn 55, you know.
Yeah.
Sobriety taught me to not do that.
Right.
So our relationship is very different now.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not mothering her anymore.
Right, so yeah. You've learnt that to sort of not so much pull back, but to...
Boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah, boundaries. Good word.
Yeah, I love that word. But yeah. I was just looking, you know, with that step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For me, that was a bit like we were talking earlier. It involved keeping coming back and discovering a higher power. And when I hand over every day to my higher power, mm-hmm. I get out of my own way for controlling my life. I lived in survival mode. I lived in control mode. So for me, step two has been really important in the sense that I realised if I just don't control everything, live in the day and let things just happen as they are meant to, not for my own agenda or where I think it should be going. Oh my gosh, once I got that, things just came to me easily.
Right.
Whereas I had been struggling all my life I was good at putting out fires too. You know, if I do this, then that'll happen and then this will go and then that will line up and then, oh my gosh, we'll be able to have that. And then there's that day and I wouldn't be one day. I'd be a month ahead, you know, because I'd be opening establishments and so I had to be ahead.
Yeah,
I had to be really organised. And so... for me, yeah, life has just flipped completely having that step two and realising that, you know, I do my handover, do my reading and my handover to my higher power. And if things don't go well or something, you know, gives me a trip, then I learn my acceptance and I go, okay, well, this is a lesson in this for me or... oh, look what happened. There you go. And I get provided by so well. I have a lovely home. I have great friendships and relationships with people. I have wonderful clients. I have enough money to feed us. I had enough money to go on a holiday, you know, and the holiday for me.
Even though you didn't go swimming.
Oh, yeah. I know, you're never going to let me forget that. But a holiday for me wasn't going away to an island or going on, you know, some... it was going and hanging out with friends at their house by the beach. And that was plenty. Yeah, it's... my higher power provides for me everything that I need. But ask me that before I came into the rooms. I was the only person that could provide for me and my thinking. So, That learning that my life was really quite insane, the decisions I was making and how I was directing my life like a wonderful act in a movie, I didn't need to. I didn't need to. And that's been a huge relief for me, step two.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I still have to actively, consciously do that step in the morning. So it's just because instead of wake, you know, we get up and like, your brain goes into like, right, I've got to, you know, I can't believe that. I've got to sort that out today. So instead of being like, wait a minute, just wait a minute. Give yourself 5 or 10. And we both sound, we've got pretty solid practices. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? I remember step two for me at the beginning. You know, we've talked about having faith and understanding the God and the higher power side of things tonight. Where for me at the beginning, I actually, how long would it have taken me? Probably 6 months, maybe. I would get down on my knees. I like I've shared this before. I called my higher power Saucy after HP Sauce for ages. And then as I was doing my handovers, it just seemed quite disrespectful. So I stopped going Saucy. And then I thought, I'll try this knee thing, you know. And I did that for a little bit. When I say a little bit, it was a few weeks. And then I just let it progress in its own thing, and eventually I found the comfortable spot, which is normally in my drive in the morning, and I chat sometimes out loud, and it's literally just having a chat. There's no, I do my third step prayer, and I don't, yeah, I do those because I've been told that's what to do.
There's a little bit of that. We have to admit, it's like, yeah, this is what I, and they're like, okay, I better do that then.
Yeah.
But
you sort of
negotiate what you're going to do. Because I, last year I started walking to work, and it's a 45-minute walk. And then I'm like,
great time to hand over.
This is like a walking meditation. So that's what I call it now. And go through quite a cool greenery, see the kereru flying. You know, sometimes it's pretty hardcore when it's like 3 degrees, but it's
do you put socks on your boots when it's icy?
No, I don't.
Don't you? No. That stops you slipping.
Yeah,
I have
heard of that one. But that space between, as I can, I use that word calibrate a lot, I've noticed tonight, but the idea is I can leave home, 45 minutes to work. I've actually sort of sifted things through my head. I don't think about work, not too much, maybe towards the end. And I don't play music, don't listen to, you know, like a podcast or anything. And it's just being in that space.
It's your time.
That's that time. And that's sort of, yeah, that's how I've identified. And that's my, I guess, practice, if you like.
Would I be right in saying that you giving yourself that quiet time prior to your sobriety was absolutely never existing?
Yeah, not really. I mean, luckily I had a beautiful dog at the time, and so that was just like good distractions. But yeah, no, it would be getting up in an intense panic.
The
end, I'm like, usually sort of in the end, it was quite financially heavy, and you know, trying to put fires out, and yeah, thinking, oh, I realise my business isn't working. Funny that, right? And then I'm like, I had to think outside the square, I'm lucky that I have other skills that I could actually find other employment, and then that, I've managed to build up on that. So that's, yeah. But you're so right. Before sobriety, this nah.
Mm. And isn't it lovely that we don't? Well, I can't say we, but I know I don't have panic in my life anymore. It's very bizarre, but it is just wonderful. I mean, I'm in my fifth year and I'm still amazed by what life gives me now and how I run it. And I even use it. I use these learnings with my son who's about to go back to high school, and he's a little bit fretting. And, you know, I had to say to him the other day, just keep it in today, mate. We don't need to go into next week yet. Just today. It's all we need to live in. So let's get to the point where you're going to put your head down on the pillow tonight. Don't worry about anything else.
And is he sort of taking that on?
Oh, yeah, he takes it on. Yeah.
And just do things in
he's
steps.
He's quite a good sponge.
Not steps, but in terms of like you got a few things to do, trying to identify how to break that down. I mean, to me, that's been a real
That's a bit
great
intense.
Thing of sobriety. I know, but okay. But in terms of
for a teenager, yeah,
okay.
But you know, it's slow practice, isn't it? That's what this whole program is. It's practice, not perfection. My son's a perfectionist, so that causes him enough angst. So it's really nice to just see him stop and take a breath and take it on, you know, and go, okay, and watch his shoulders drop. And, it's this program is rich, not just for ourselves, I find personally. It's been incredibly rich for my parenting style and for my son. Mm. So, yeah, your family, your friends, and my partner and all of those sorts of things, you know.
Close relationships
are way
chosen
different.
Chosen family. I use that word. I have a great chosen family. And
I love that.
I've got my wonderful other, my blood family, but,
But I find even
quite common. It's not common, but it's present in my other friends' lives or their family members have addiction. But then watching my transformation, and I get to see them every now and then, you know, that is, you can see that there's that sense of being relaxed and we can get on to new things. Our friendships change now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not actually just, they're not looking in your eyes going, is she a little bit knock-cut? She's cracking all those jokes that are kind of funny. Maybe she's repeating herself. You know, now it's like there's new sort of places, there's new sort of things that we're finding out about each other. You're laughing
Sue, they're going, they're looking at you. No, gosh, I had a personality when I drank. I get it. You know, they don't, you know, my son didn't know if who was coming home or, you know, that those times. So that's the scary thing about drinking. I wasn't a really angry drunk, but what's she going to be like tonight? Is she going to be present or not? You know, that's what drinking does. It takes you away from the present.
But when you're in that mode, when you're that person, you think you're just trying to get away with it.
You're just trying to survive, but yeah.
Or you're going through endless amounts of toothpaste so people can't tell that you've been
Oddfellows. In fact, I eat Oddfellows now, like I used to drink, but that's more because I just need something to do. But I do love, I go through stages where I go, ooh, Oddfellows are good. I don't think I tried to
hide. Are you promoting Oddfellows on this program?
No, I am an Oddfellow. I don't think I tried to hide the alcohol taste with toothpaste and stuff. I don't think I did. I'll have to go away and have a think about that one tonight. Let's play some music. Come on, let's get into these songs you've pulled out for today. Guys, you're listening to the AA Live radio show in association with our friends at OR FM. That's Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. Go for it, Sue. Put on the music.
Some mistakes, but I still loved you. I was nothing but good to you. Made some mistakes, but I still loved you. I guess I couldn't. I couldn't do for you the things you wanted.
Nice work. And that track title was Rose, entitled Euston Station.
I liked that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was nice. I enjoyed that.
Quite a new electronic artist, but quite the rave in London at the moment.
London has such different music than we do here over this side of the world.
But it's, yeah, but let's have a look at what I was thinking about. Part two.
She's getting her lecturer's hat on.
I am getting my lecturer's hat on. You told me to like talk with a smile, so I'm doing that.
I love it.
So I was wanting to talk about the idea of fellowship and connectivity.
Hmm.
And I know it's like I've been putting these two things together. You know, I've sometimes in any parts of your life, but definitely in the AA program, it's just like you're thinking about what am I really thinking here? What's just happening here today or this week in my life? You know, how am I changing? Or, you know, what's that? Yeah, I guess it's that deep inner core, like, you know, what am I finding out this week or this month? And just being integral to the AA program is this key idea of fellowship, like being in a group and then by default being in a group of people whose commonality is that we're all alcoholics, and we finally admitted that we were addicted to alcohol, and we absolutely have alcoholic behaviours. We are problem drinkers and thinkers, as they say, and that's, for me, that's putting it lightly. And as the preamble in the AA states, our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics recover to achieve sobriety. So I'm keen to talk about what fellowship means in the AA program, in the rooms of AA, and then perhaps what that means on a more personal level. And for me, in the last while, I've been thinking, as I said, about the idea of connectivity and say, what's the translation from attending AA meetings and being active in the AA community, and then how that might filter into every aspect of your life.
Oh my gosh, it does. But yeah, carry on, sorry.
So some of the key examples, if you like, of connectivity within a regular AA meetings would be, say, if I just got a little list here, and it's like listening to the sharing and in the meeting, just acknowledging the shared experience of others, identifying with some of the content that is shared. Maybe perhaps it's that rock bottom, someone's small steps of they've made in their sobriety, and some of the milestones that people have achieved, whether it's in terms of length of sobriety, or just what they've done that day, or they bought a house. I'm not sure. You know, it could be all small, sort of material things, immaterial things.
It could be that they came back to their second meeting.
Let's keep it like that. And so that connectivity is like being active, and it's being engaged, right, in acceptance and love and support. And for me, it's like helping my recovery now I understand is so contingent on others and being connected.
Helping others, you mean?
You're helping others, yeah. And it comes down to, like, I think I was always an empathetic person, and I did understand, I could see how things were put together and how people operated. But now that's sort of almost sort of ramped up, do you find?
Do you find it's ramped up, or that you're actually finding you have more time and balance with it because you don't have the chaos of drinking in your life? So it's more noticeable because you no longer live in a chaotic world?
Right.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, I see. So because I've just, apart from that, there's that sort of peacefulness that is arriving. So every day's a little, you know, much better than the way on before. I can start to see there's better patterns. Things are, the whole headspace has changed. But, yeah, that being connected, and I've learnt that in the rooms in a sense. And also being, we talked often, it gets mentioned and it's quite critical, you know, this relationship you have with your sponsor. So you can have your general sort of fellowship, and then you can have that more, I guess more intense or more time. Not it's intense. Maybe that's the wrong word.
No, it's not necessarily the wrong word if that's what you're having.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing. So for me, I was listening to you then and I'm thinking, well, fellowship is in all our literature. Fellowship is the basis of Alcoholics Anonymous. Fellowship is, you know, one alcoholic helping another alcoholic. It's not a society. It's not something that you join to belong to. We don't have fees. We don't have a membership list or anything like that. It is purely
We don't even
fellowship.
Know each other's last names,
yeah,
generally.
Exactly. We know the initial maybe. Mm. You know, that anonymity is huge.
Yeah.
Just as an example of that, it was a year ago, a friend of mine in AA, who I can't consider a friend, was in hospital, wanted to go and visit and thought, oh my gosh, I don't know their last name. I can't ask. I don't know what to say. And so it meant I changed how I got contact details with my friends in the fellowship. Purely because I had that experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. The fellowship is there. The fellowship is what gives us the program. So you don't learn about it without those fellows. You can't actually have a program without the person that has come before you and showing you as a sponsor or even just shared their experience, their strength and hope in the rooms. You can't actually learn unless you have that person or those people. So, you know, that is part of the fellowship. That is the beauty of this program. It is free and it is purely based on the fact that I have something that I want you to have.
Mm.
And that creates that connectivity and the fellowship and the strength and the building your foundations of your recovery. And then you want to go out and you want nothing more than to be able to share it with another person. So you share it with the newcomer. And then they become, not every sponsor is a friend of their sponsees. We all have different relationships. Mm. And that's also the joy of the program, is that depending on who you are, you may find that you require a sponsor who is very rule orientated, or, you know, very step orientated, and you follow these and you do what I say and there's no side winding on it, nothing. You may have one who wants to just love you back to wellness and they do nothing but care and guide you gently. You may have somebody who relates to you so well that you have this natural connection. There's just so many different types of sponsorships out there, because there are so many different types of alcoholics coming into the fellowship. Now, I was thinking about when you started talking about that, I started thinking about, for me, my sobriety hasn't just come from the rooms. I got some quite intensive counselling as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just coming up to my last year of that now. But when I first went in for that counselling, I had to do one of those forms. It's a BSAS or something, I can't remember, but it tells you have to score it on a 1 to 10, what level all these different questions are at, right? And it shows that you are very much not connected to, well, minded, to anybody in the community. I had no community connections at all, none. I had isolated completely. I was drinking alone at home. I wasn't reaching out to friends. Some friends had dropped off. Family was, you know, pretty non-plus for me. It was...
You're just so remote.
Yeah, incredibly. Yeah. I was an island out there all on my own, and I was trying to survive life and get my son through life, and making some pretty big rash decisions. And, you know, I mean, coming down here was my last geographical, and it was a huge geographical. But anyway, they all read, you know, one, two, which is the worst. And now, as we're in, and we had to do that every year, and I've watched it go up and up and up. And the last time it was 7 out of 10. You know,
like
so
really comprehensive type of survey or questionnaire.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive questionnaire. Yeah. There's 2 of them. And so it's showed me that I have connected back with my community. And part of, you know, a major part of that is the fellowship and being there of service to others. Coming in and doing this radio show, holding positions, opening meetings, all of those things have meant that I now have, you know, last year, for example, I was really, really sick at Christmas and I collapsed in my house. My son was able to pick up the phone and call my sponsor, who dropped everything and drove 45 minutes across town to my house, brought food on the way, made sure my son was okay, looked after me for the whole day, took me to the hospital, made sure my son got to where he needed to spend the night while I was admitted to hospital and all those sorts of things. And now there was a time when I would have just done all of that on my own. It was huge for me, huge for
me. It makes your heart warm, doesn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. And the other beautiful thing about the fellowship is that people don't, you know, that word acceptance, I said it earlier, it's massive. It's enormous. We need to find acceptance of others. And that's part of what happens in the fellowship. We're actually not really any different.
Yeah.
We all have the same – that's not well said. We're all really different, but we have one common thing, and we're all alcoholics. And so we understand each other's
foundation. That's the foundation. And then we build on that.
Exactly.
And of course, some people get more aligned to other people and more acquaintances, and that's okay. That's just natural human behaviour, right?
Correct.
But I had this really cool experience yesterday, and I was walking in my walking meditation. No, I was walking to school, and I thought, right, I really want to – I might go to that lunchtime meeting because I haven't got any classes on, you know, because school's not quite back. So I texted an AA member, and they texted back and said, oh, they're in Melbourne. I'm like, oh, great. Lucky you. You know, so – I said, great, hope Melbourne's doing well. You know, and I thought, cool, I can just get to the meeting or I might go to the evening one. So things transpired, and in the afternoon, this person called me. And I said, what, are you back? And he goes, no. He said, I'm just feeling really uncomfortable.
Oh, how lovely.
And he was just like, he said, I'm having a great time. He said, I went to, you know, a meeting in Melbourne in the morning, one of those sort of rush hour early ones. He was about to go into a restaurant with his wife and kids, you know, to have a nice Melbourne experience. And he said, I just feel out of sorts and I just thought I'd call you. And I just want to hear your voice. And I'm like, great, stay on the phone. I said, but you're okay, like, basically indicating, you know, you're not going to do a U-turn and head to the bottle store. He goes, oh, no, this is the last thing I want to do, but I just wanted to talk to you and tell me, you know, everything's okay. And I said, great, do some cool breathing, just go for a 2-minute walk by yourself around some, you know, maybe somewhere.
Yeah, walking is so good.
Just recenter, go back in, and then you're going to be good. And he said, that's awesome, see you later. And that was it. It was like really quick. It was maybe 2-minute conversation. And then he texted me later on and said, that was awesome. And I'm like, I would never have got that text from Melbourne. I would never have known that person who's becoming, we're getting quite a, you know, he's
a friend.
So funny. His humor's great. And it's just more like, that's so special to me. And that just filled my heart. And that's what I'm sort of also talking about, connectivity. You know, you have these experiences that, you know, they're connected, of course, to the AA program, but they're just, and they keep happening. It's like, whoa, this is quite buzzy.
It is. Yeah. It's
so that
wonderful.
It's a good story, but important to share that maybe for others too that are listening.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful story to share. So that's fantastic. And that is the richness of the program right there and the richness of the fellowship. Because there would have been a time when you wouldn't have. Yeah, nobody would have relied on you to ring you and say, I'm just feeling uncomfortable. How wonderful is the honesty that we have with each other too?
You know, yeah, I was really stoked.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be reached out to like that. Yeah. How rich that is, you know? And there you go. There's your higher power showing you the riches of sobriety of this program of life. Do you know what's really odd? So I think some people probably have those things happen to them naturally. It's just we haven't had those things happen naturally to us. So now we're, you know, living life on life's terms.
Right.
We weren't used to that sort of stuff. Mm. I was used to calls, but it would be chaos happening and it would be.
Yeah. Oh, you get a call, you wouldn't answer it, right?
No, oh, well, I might have been drinking.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to look at the phone and wait for it to go to voicemail. And then you might check your voicemail the following day. You're definitely going to check it straight away.
Well, that was definitely the way it was at the end of my drinking. Mm. Yeah, there was
very reduced behavior.
Very, very. Yeah, it wasn't fun drinking. It was just fulfilling a need. It was a need. I needed it to be able to operate on a daily basis. But What a great story. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Now, what should we do now?
Oh, well.
What does my schedule say to me?
Well, I think we're about ready to close up, aren't we?
Okay.
How are we going? I think we've done pretty well, haven't we?
Right. No, I think that was good.
I've enjoyed tonight. It's been wonderful.
Everyone's going to be like, this is a crazy rodeo, but this is my first time, everyone. So please be kind.
It's your first time doing the desk.
It's my first time doing the desk and I was trying to operate. Anyway, let's not go there.
No.
So that's a wrap really for this, our wonderful evening session. So Alcoholics Anonymous is based on a 12-step program. For those who aren't sure what that means, the 12 steps outline a path to spiritual progress through a series of actions designed to elicit what the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous refers to as a psychic change, a complete mental, emotional, and spiritual shift in perception. We believe the 12 steps can be a critical element of a long-term recovery program.
Nicely said.
Great. So thank you for spending time with us. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you so. It's been so nice to be here.
Big smiles propelling me along while I'm pushing buttons and throwing myself around the room. So reminders to our listeners that if you want to drink, that really is your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. And here's a few phone numbers to if you do need to contact us. And the first one is 0800 AA Works and numbers. That is 0800 2296757.
That's a good plane, a 757, but okay.
Is that a good plane? I don't know. We have a web address too, and that's
aa.org.nz. That website, the aa.org.nz website, is so full of good things. Lots of tips, lots of helping hands.
It's really good. Mm. It's got, you can push like where you are in the country or the world, probably, possibly, the meetings that are on, and they give you all the addresses. Of course, you've got the daily reflections, which are always a good go to.
Mm. Yeah, it's really brilliant. And actually, if you call that 0800 AA Works line, you'll get another alcoholic in recovery on the other end of the phone. So they'll have an understanding of you. Don't feel like you are reaching out to some clinical
call centre.
Yeah. You're not in Guatemala now, Dr. Opata. Okay.
Little tangent there. So thanks for everything and thanks for everyone being tolerant. So we're going to finish this little session with a song by Frank Ocean titled Pink and White from his album Blonde. So take care of yourselves out there. Until next time, Matiwa. Said that she does.
eyes on the loose. There's a thief out on the move. Underneath our legion's view. They have taken Cleopatra. Run, run, Cleopatra. Come back for my Cleopatra. Bring her back to me. Run, run, Cleopatra. The crown of our pharaoh. The throne of our Cleopatra. Cleopatra. Shining like diamonds in a rocky world. Rocky world. Our skin like bronze and our hair like cashmere. As we march to the rhythm on the palace floor. Ooh, chandeliers inside the pyramids. Tremble from the force. Symbols crash inside the pyramids. Voices fill up the house. Set the cheetahs on the loose. There's a thief out on the moon. But you love Africa, jewel. What good is a jewel that ain't still precious? How could you run off on me? How could you run off on us? You feel like God inside that gold. I found you laying down with Samson and his full head of hair. I found my black queen, Cleopatra. Bad dreams, Cleopatra. Blacks and the cheetahs to the tomb. Silver, our queen has met a door. No more, she lives no more. Serpents in the room. Cleopatra. Pyramid tonight.
working at the pyramid, yeah, yeah. Working at the pyramid tonight, yeah. Working at the pyramid, ooh, working at the pyramid tonight, yeah. Working at the pyramid, working at the pyramid tonight, working at the pyramid. Working at the pyramid tonight.
Pimping in my convos. Bubbles in my champagne. Let it be some jazz playing. Top floor motel suite. Twisting my cigars. Floor model TV with the VCR. Got rubies in my damn chain. Whip ain't got no gas tank, but it still got wood grain.
Got your girl working for me.
Hit the strip and my bills pay. That keep my bills paid. Hit the strip and my bills pay. Keep a nigga bills pay. She's working at the pyramid tonight. Working at the pyramid, yeah, yeah. Working at the pyramid tonight, yeah, yeah. Working at the pyramid. Working at the pyramid tonight, yeah. Working at the pyramid, ooh, ooh.
Working at the pyramid tonight.
Working at the pyramid. You showed up after work, I'm bathing your body. Touch you in places only I know. You're wetting your warm just like our bath water. Can we make love before you go? The way you say my name makes me feel like I'm that nigga, but I'm still unemployed. You say it's big, but you take it. Right, cowgirl, but your love ain't free no more, baby. But your love ain't free no more. She's working at the pyramid tonight. Working at the pyramid. Working at the pyramid tonight. Working at the pyramid. That's right. Working at the pyramid tonight. Working at the pyramid. Working at the pyramid tonight. Working at the pyramid. Working at the pyramid tonight.